Hi everyone and welcome back to Museum Some Chill. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to take a moment to highlight a special day coming up soon, International Museum Day. Established in 1987 by the International Council of Museums, we celebrate IMD every year on the 18th of May, and it's a chance to recognize the incredible role museums play in our society. This year's theme is Museums for Education and Research. Museums are hubs of learning, offering unique perspectives on history, science, art, culture, society, and more. To learn more on how to participate on the International Museum Day, head over to ICOM's designated website at imd.icom.museum, where you will have a comprehensive list of resources to help you celebrate, including a communications kit where you will find all the information regarding how to participate, be it as a guest, museum professionist, or a museum. We also invite you to download this year's poster and translate it to your own language and share it with us through the website. And lastly, we have an amazing interactive map that lets you explore museums events happening around the world. So dive in, explore, and get ready to celebrate museums. Welcome to Museums and Chill, a podcast with the International Council of Museums, where we talk everything museums. This is Ana Paula from ICOM, and today's guest is Caitlin Southwick, founder and executive director of Key Culture, an international nonprofit working to unite culture and sustainability. Thank you, Caitlin, for being here.
Thank you so much, Ana Paula. It's absolutely my pleasure.
Can you please tell us what Key Culture is and how it started?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thank you. And, Key Culture started because basically, I'm an art conservator who was concerned about my impact on the planet and society. I was a stone conservator for many years. I have had the great fortune of working at some of the most exciting places in the world, including at the Getty Conservation Institute, at the Vatican Museums, and in Rapa Nui. And I loved my job. I'm incredibly passionate about heritage. I'm incredibly passionate about art. But I also love this beautiful planet that we live on. And I have to say that, standing on the beaches of Rapa Nui, dumping toxic chemicals over the Moai statues and watching it run into the ground and out into the ocean just churned my stomach. And it started to hit me that there's this kind of separation between conserving heritage and conserving our planet. And I really just wanted to find a way that I could be more sustainable in my own job and my own practice. And, this was back 10 years ago and I couldn't find anything. There wasn't information, there weren't resources, the conversation wasn't really happening yet. So I started looking into this and unpacking what were really the bottlenecks for why sustainability was something that we as cultural professionals all really cared about, because, we do, and it's very inherent into our jobs. Museums are for society and, conservation is conservation. And I think that it was really about a lack of time, a lack of information, and a lack of communication. And, so many people wanted to do things, but maybe didn't know exactly what to do. So many people felt alone in their sustainability journeys. Maybe they felt they didn't have support or they didn't have, allies within their organizations. And then also, there are so many solutions already out there and there's so much great work being done, but people aren't necessarily aware of it. So as I started unpacking this, I actually joined the ICOM Working Group on Sustainability, and I was very fortunate to serve as the secretary for 4 years. And through my work with the working group, I realized that it's not just conservation that has this issue, and it's not just the environmental impact that we have, but it's this larger idea of culture. And, museums, galleries, artists, performing arts centers, all stakeholders in the supply chain, and not only our own operations, but the incredible impact that we have on our communities and on our audiences. And then the other side of this, of course, was that it wasn't just the impact we had on the environment, but on people. And so looking at the broader perspective of sustainability, from the environmental, but also social and economic standpoints, the SDGs, Agenda 2030, this more holistic approach. And I thought these two ideas, culture and sustainability, are so intertwined that it seemed obvious to me that they should be working together. And once again, in looking at what the bottlenecks were, I realized that if we're going to tackle this seriously, we need a full-time organization dedicated just to this issue of sustainability and to providing resources, tools, and guidance on how to turn this desire into action. So that's where Key Culture started. And we're really excited about how far we've come and how far we've come actually as a sector.
That sounds great. I mean, often these amazing initiatives start from a personal sort of reflection. But I was reading through the website and the tools and the publications that you've had, and I read that you used the word, or Key Culture used the word, sustainability in a wide sense, because of course it's often misunderstood. So could you please explain what sustainability is in relation to culture, and after, if you can, a bit more specific on museums?
Thank you. And that's such a great question. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because so often when people talk about sustainability, they focus on climate. And climate is one aspect of sustainability, but sustainability is bigger than that. And so it's really important that we don't use those words interchangeably. When we're talking about climate, we're talking about climate. And we're talking about sustainability, we're actually talking about this much wider, larger web of more elements. And it can feel a little overwhelming because there's so much, but I think it's also really exciting because sustainability in its wider sense includes, as I mentioned, these three pillars. It's environment, it's economic, it's social, but it's everything. It's everything that we do. It's the materials that we use. It's the way that we get to work in the morning. It's the amount of energy that we consume, but it's also what we plant in our gardens. You know, it's how we talk to each other. It's what we think about when we're doing our job. It's so much more. It's actually a part of every aspect of our lives, and particularly as cultural professionals. You know, it's about how we tell our histories to our audiences and what we're communicating. It's about how we make our culture and our heritage accessible to people. What are people allowed to see, and who is allowed to dictate that? I mean, all of these elements come into play. It's about our priorities. It's about how we allocate our resources. And so often I hear people say, oh, you know, sustainability is expensive, or I don't have the money for it. But at the end of the day, sustainability is about doing good without doing harm. And I will thank Henry McGee for that, because that is my favorite quote and my favorite way to talk about sustainability. And it's also about basically maximizing what we have and realizing that what we have is abundant, what we have is limitless. We just need to look at it that way. And I think that it's, once again, it's about the efficiency of how we use things. So for example, I will always say, you know, budget is the biggest barrier to sustainability right now because of this misconception that sustainability is expensive. It is not expensive. It is always the most financially viable option. But people may say, oh, but you know that I need to upgrade my HVAC system, but that's going to cost 200,000 euro and I just don't have that. But if we look at where we're spending that money, well, okay, we need to maybe reduce the amount of energy that we're using, and then we can reinvest that money that we're saving there into upgrading our systems. Or people are always saying, oh, well, you know, that costs too much manpower. We don't have the staff for that. Well, if we make cuts in other areas, once again, like our energy consumption, or buying new materials all the time, then we'll save that money and we can reallocate it to paying staff. So it's this holistic thing. It's everything we do. It's everything we see. It's everything we touch. It's everything we are. But it's also, you know, in terms of museums, it's really at the core of what we do. I mean, museums are places that serve their communities. They are places that house history and culture. They are places really where people go to connect with themselves and with each other, with our past, with our present, and even with our future. And sustainability is integrated into all of this. So, you know, it, as I said, it's can feel overwhelming because it's so much. And also the other part, of course, is that sustainability means different things to different people. And, you know, some people may say it's something that's important for now, and some people may say it's something that's important for the future, and some people may say it's being socially responsible, or it's being economically responsible, or it's being environmentally responsible. It's all of those things. Everyone is correct. And to me, that's what's so exciting about sustainability, is that there's always an entry point. There's always something that somebody can do. There's always a way that we can contribute and create positive impact. And that's really, to me, what sustainability is.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's quite important for everyone to sort of understand that you don't need the most expertise. So probably, could you share with us what you have discovered during this journey of Key Culture, and what has been probably the most challenging part of not necessarily the creation of Key Culture, but probably implementing what you've created, you know, implementing the tools, implementing the publications that sometimes can also be connected to tools.
Yeah. So I think that right now, the biggest obstacle in terms of implementing sustainability is really making the time for it. It does take time because, as you said, and this I think is a really, really important point, sustainability is not something that we have to do alone. It, you know, there are so many different elements, and no one person is going to be an expert in all of these different things. And I think it's unrealistic for us to think that that's going to be the case. So first things first, it's okay if you don't know everything about sustainability. I am the first person to say I don't know everything about sustainability, but I do know who does. And it's not one person, it's a network of people, it's a community of active, enthusiastic, engaged humans who want to do good things for this world. And when it comes to this idea of, you know, sustainable action, for me, it's really about partnerships. It's about co-creation, it's about collaboration. But, you know, it does start with a need to spend some time. You know, you have to learn a little bit about sustainability. I always say that we do the best that we can do with the information that we have. So unfortunately, at the moment, in a lot of situations, sustainability is not part of cultural education. I'm very, very happy to see that that is changing. Sustainability is now being incorporated into curricula. There are many professional development courses, including ones that we offer through Key. And there are also a lot of places that people can find resources and information from amazing, amazing organizations all over the globe. But at the moment, when we're looking at, you know, taking sustainable action, it's so important to focus on partnerships and collaboration. And this is what we hope to do with Key, and to be able to help support people in taking action, finding reliable information that is relevant and that is actionable. So basically, one of the things that we've seen, though, is that a lot of times people, because cultural professionals tend to be incredibly passionate about, we tend to be involved in a lot of things and often quite overworked. And, you know, most cultural professionals have their full-time job, plus the volunteering that they do over here, plus this committee that they're on, plus they have this and that and this, you know, maybe they're doing a research paper or preparing for this conference, and they probably have a family and like a personal life. I mean, you know, I don't know what that looks like, but I'm teasing. But it can be overwhelming to find time. And I think that for me, this has been the biggest challenge, is to shift the perspective from sustainability is an add-on. It's, you know, an extra thing on my plate. It's something, it's a chore. It's a, you know, something I have to do, to seeing that sustainability is actually in everything that we do. Now, once again, we have to have this foundational knowledge to see how that looks like. I always say, you know, sustainability is a pair of glasses you put on and see the world a little bit differently. But you do have to learn a little bit about what that world looks like. You know, concepts like circular economy, concepts like carbon and what that actually means, zero waste, repatriation, decolonization. These are things that are related to everyday work for us. But we do need to make that initial investment to educate ourselves. And I think right now it's challenging for cultural professionals to understand how to make that time, and also to feel that there is the most efficient way to do it, I would say. As I mentioned, there are so many amazing resources available. The Key books are just one of them. You know, the Gallery Climate Coalition has some really great open source resources. I know Julie's Bicycle does amazing work. Art 2030, the Danish Museum Association Green Academy. There's so much going on out there that also can feel overwhelming. Like, too many resources, where do you start, and what's relevant for you? And there's an amazing guidebook out of the Image Permanence Institute about HVAC system shutdowns, which gives very detailed all of the scientific evidence and all of the explanation about how to do HVAC system shutdowns. But it's 181 pages, and I mean, I don't have time to read 181 pages on HVAC system shutdowns. I would much rather call up Chris Cameron and say, hey, Chris, can you help me apply this to my own job? So I think that it comes back to that community, that support system. And for me, it was, you know, we need to create the resources. Yes, that's the first thing. But all too often, you create the resource, the cultural professional downloads your Key book, they're all excited about it, they read it to a point, and then they go, wait a second, I have a question. Or I'm not quite sure how that applies to me. Or they get sidetracked and they put it down and they think, that's really great, I'll do that later, and then never get around to it. So for me, it's about, I don't want to say accountability, because it's not something you should be forced to do. You should be excited about it. But it's about, you know, setting aside the time and in a way that is motivating. And it's also about having the support systems to guide you to what is going to be applicable and also to what is going to be, executable, I would say, actionable, what you can actually do. So I can talk a little bit more about that, but I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely quite interesting to be able to have the audience and half of the museum sector professionals and cultural professionals just be able to be empathized with. Because I feel like, as you say, it's an often forgotten fact that people in cultures and cultural sectors and of course in museum sectors are very much working because it's their passion. It's their work, but it's also very much passion. That's hard to balance when you have to actively use tools that you know are going to make everything probably better for the future, when you are overworked, when you're probably just even lost with all, as you say, overwhelmed with all these tools and documents. So it's quite, for me, every time that can be underlined so the professionals can understand that they're not alone, it's quite important. And maybe you can tell us what have you discovered that museums and cultural institutions do best when it comes to sustainability? What have they've done, probably, because I know this is a subject that's been out there for a while, probably in different ways as we evolve. But what has been one of the most interesting sort of examples that you've learned from or you've seen through these years?
That's a fabulous question. And I have to say that what motivates me so much, especially with the engagement with the cultural sector, is that it's our creativity. You know, cultural professionals have a unique perspective on the world. We have a rare set of tools. You know, we understand materials science, but we also understand anthropology. We understand art and creation, but we also understand how to run an organization and, you know, communications and all of these different elements. And it is unique. There's no other sector that has the capacity to connect with humans the way that culture does. And there's no other sector that has the capacity of storytelling that can drive behavior change the way that the cultural sector does. And for me, this is the most exciting opportunity. And what we're doing best is we are creating solutions. We are using our big, brilliant brains to come up with cool and innovative and relevant programming and stories and exhibitions to engage people with topics of heritage and art and sustainability. And I think that this is the power of the cultural sector. And, you know, when it comes to sustainability, I know that there's a lot of talk about ESG, which is a corporate metric for sustainability, and all of these other systems that you can, you know, get accreditations and certification. But a lot of that doesn't apply to us, or parts of it apply to us. But really what we do best is we understand the nuances that sustainability is not a checklist. We understand that it's not black and white. And we understand that there are very context-specific aspects to sustainability that we're sensitive to and can react to in order to make it successful. And, you know, there's so many amazing stories from around the globe of institutions doing amazing things. One of my favorites, and we've been working with the Museo Moderno in Buenos Aires for the last couple of years in generous support by the Tiger Foundation. And they've been doing some unbelievably cool programming. And one of my favorite programs that they ran was a opportunity to engage with the homeless community in Buenos Aires. And what they did was they opened up their doors to the homeless community and they invited them in and allowed them to create art. And it was a magical experience because, of course, you are now bringing in a community that has previously been excluded. You're allowing for creative expression. But building on top of that, they then displayed the artworks at the museum and sold them. So it not only was able to give these human beings like a sense of pride and a sense of creative expression, but it also provided a financial resource, which is, of course, so incredibly needed. And I mean, every time I talk about that story, I almost cry because I just think it's so beautiful. And it really, for me, exemplifies the power of the cultural sector and the power of creative thinking. I mean, this is an out-of-the-box idea that just has had ripple effects of impact all over the city. So that's one of my favorite examples. And I think that these are the types of things that we can do as the cultural sector is not limit ourselves and really think about what kind of impact we want to make and then just do it.
Thank you so much for sharing that example. It's so great to hear that it's not necessarily simple, but it's quite direct. You really have to interact with your community. So we've arrived to the last part of the episode, which is the rapid fire questions that we always try to ask our guests just to have sort of a more, not fun, but yes, fun way to follow up on the matter, which is asking recommendations when it comes to something that our audience can look at, listen to, or even just watch. It could be a movie, documentary, to learn more on sustainability related to culture. Is there anything you can recommend us?
I mean, obviously, I'm always going to say check out the key books because I think that those are really I mean, I don't mean to, you know, self-promote on here, but the key books are a really great resource. They're open, free, available for everyone. They've been co-created by sustainability and cultural professionals from around the globe. And they're a great introduction to sustainability. They're a really nice overview of tips and case studies and action points and facts. So I think that that's a really nice starting point for people who are kind of dipping their toes into sustainability. There are so many amazing documentaries and resources, conferences that have happened that delve into this topic. And I think that, but I do have to say that every element I see kind of goes into specific areas of culture. So it would maybe depend a little bit on what your interests are. I mean, I have to say there's a lot of different things that can help introduce you to different topics. There's a night talk show host in the US called John Oliver, and he has two episodes, one where he goes into plastics and one where he goes into carbon offsets. And I love to use those two episodes as introductions for the issues because they're very well researched, they're very clearly explained, and they're super entertaining. And I always tell my champions in our programming to share those videos with their colleagues because it's a great introduction. It's a great way to kind of get people aware of the issues. I mean, for example, with the plastics, you know, we know that recycling is not the solution, but a lot of people are unclear as to why. And even today, most people ask me, like, you know, can this be recycled? And I'm always saying, that's not the right question, because, you know, only 9% of plastics can be recycled. And even then, it's actually super carbon intensive, et cetera. So those are really great resources for getting information. If you're interested in climate control, the International Climate Control Conference, which was done in December of 2022, the Gallery Climate Coalition did a fabulous overview of art and sustainability, more specifically climate, but also integrated social justice in March of 2023. And the British Columbia Museum Association and the Canadian Museum Association are doing amazing work with Indigenous communities. So, you know, there's a lot out there that's going on. And I would just encourage people to get curious and see what they can find. And of course, if there are specific things that they're interested in, you can always reach out to me. I'm happy to point you in the right direction.
That's awesome. Thank you. You know, I never would have thought that like a late night show would have been a reference, you know, so that's quite fun. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not specific to culture, but actually I find it really interesting because it talks about, you know, the hyper consumption that we have. And I think, you know, when it comes to waste, especially from exhibitions, it's super relevant. So definitely an interesting 20 minutes.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And just the second one, it's a museum that you will recommend to visit. I know that it kind of sounds unfair to all the museums, but I mean, it could be very much a museum that you just visited, you know, something, or even one that you are looking forward to go to, you know?
There you go. I had this question a couple of months ago when I was in Sweden. What is your favorite museum? And it's a museum I've never been to, but I've always wanted to go to, which is the Ekomusee Tatasamba, and that's in Benin. And it is, in my opinion, it's like the ideal sustainable museum. It was built by the community for the community using traditional techniques. So it does have a collection, but it was, you know, there's no HVAC systems or anything in there. And it really serves as a community center in space. And I just think that that's the future of museums. I think we're moving away from this, you know, I mean, as I talked about a little bit, this hyper-consumption, and there's a lot of hyper-consumption of art. And so many people just go into a museum, take a selfie, and then leave, and don't actually get to spend time with the art and connect with the art. So for me, that's really special. I have to say that it's not a museum, but a cultural site. I went to Paestum in Italy a few weeks ago, and I don't tend to go to museums as often in my spare time as I would like to, but I spend so much time at museums in my day job that I'm still getting a lot, which is wonderful. But Paestum I went to over the weekend, and I just fell in love with that place. It's so beautiful because there's, you know, it's an outdoor space, obviously it's an archaeological site, and it's so well preserved. I think a lot of people don't know about it. It was originally Greek and then of course became Roman. And there's the Temple of Hera, the Temple of Neptune, and the Temple of Athena, but it's like a mini Pompeii almost. And one of the things that I love about it is it wasn't just a experience of culture, but it was an experience of nature. It was so beautiful there. And like just the way that the trees defined the architecture, and being able to hear the birds and smell the flowers while you're having this cultural integration. Like for me, that's heaven, you know, combining nature and culture. To me, that's everything. Like I get best of both worlds, you know, the beauty of the rich history of our species and, you know, the aesthetics of this architecture in such a gorgeous setting while I'm soaking up the sun. Yeah, that's it for me.
That sounds ideal. It very much sounds ideal. Well, we've actually come to the end of our episode. Thank you so much, Caitlin, for being here and for having shared all this very interesting information with the audience. I think it's going to be quite interesting episode to listen to. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to continued discussions.
Thank you. So thank you, everyone, for tuning into the episode of Museums on Chill. And just to remind you that if you would like to know more about International Museum Day or any updates on ICOM and the podcast, don't forget to follow us at ICOM social media on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all with the same handle, at ICOM Oficiel, with an E instead of an A. So until next time, thank you for listening.